Shalom uvracha to everybody. Welcome to Torah Imecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Haritz. Today we'll be learning the Haftorah for Parshas Vayera. So in Parshas Vayera, of course, there's a lot of goings on. Continuing the life and times of Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu. It begins with the Bikur Cholam of Hashem to Avram as he is recuperating from his bris milah. Then Avram does Hachnasas Archim for the Malachim. The Malachim tell him Ke'es Chayashav Vashuv Elecha Ke'es Chay Vinei Ben L'Sar Ishtacha. We return at this time next year. There will be a son to Sarah. V'Sarah Shamas Pasach Ohal. Sarah is laughing in disbelief. Can this possibly be? Hashem says, Hayipale Me Hashem Davar. Then we have in Perek Yud Tas, the Malachim go on to Sodom. They rescue those. We have the destruction of Sodom and Amorah. We have Sarah taken by Avimelech. Avram Davins for Avimelech to be healed after Sarah is, of course, released. In Perek of Aleph, we have the birth of Yitzchak, the long-awaited child who will continue the Yisraelis. Avram makes a great mishtar on the day of his weaning. Yishmael and Hagar are sent away. And Perich of Beis tells us about the Akedah Yitzchak. That's a brief summary of the parsha, because of course the Haftorah is always connected to the parsha, so we have to know what the parsha is about before we can talk about the Haftorah. Okay, the Haftorah comes from Sefer Malachim Bet, Parak Dalid, Psukim Aleph through Lamed Zayin, even though Sfardim stop before Ashkenazim. Sfardim stop after Pasuk Chaf Gimel. But so Sfardim read Malachim Bet, Parak Dalid, Psukim Aleph through Chaf Gimel, while Ashkenazim continue through Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Okay, the main topics of the Haftorah are two miracles performed by Elisha. One is a shorter narrative, the first seven psukim of the Haftorah, dealing with a specific woman and the miracle of oil. And the second story, which is lengthier in the psukim of the Haftorah, deal with the Shunamis and her miraculous child. Not only her miraculous child, of course, but the revival of the child by Elisha after the child dies. Now, I think that we tend to think that's quite a famous narrative of the prophets, of the Nevi'im, and I think that we tend to think automatically that the connection, of course, between the Parsha, Shav Ashuv Elecha Ke'es Chai V'hinei Ben L'Sara Ishtecha, the most obvious connection to the Haftarah is that the Shunamis is without a child, and after Elisha comes and they make a little alcove and a place for the holy man to stay, whenever he comes, then he promises the child, and the child is born. The Shunamis does not have a child. Her husband is old, and nevertheless, he gives her a bracha. Vayomer lamoed hazeh ka'es chaya at choveka ben. By the way, Rashi to our parsha quotes this pasuk from the Haftorah in regard to Sarah being blessed with a child. And he said, at the appointed time, at this time, like there is life next year, you will be hugging a son. Okay, when the son dies, there is a miraculous resurrection, and therefore, of course, here we have a miraculous child born in the parsha. We have a miraculous child who is born and revived in the Haftorah. So I want to actually focus on the first seven psukim of the Haftorah, which is maybe a less obvious connection to Parshas Vayera, but there has to be a connection, otherwise we would just start the Haftorah reading about the Shunamis. So why do we start with the miracle of oil that Elisha performed? Who is the woman? What is the miracle? What is going on here? So I looked at many different Sfarim, and the overview of the narrative of the first seven psukim given by many of the Sfarim, I happen to be quoting from the Sefer Rav Palm on the Haftoros because it's a nice overview, but I'm going to be quoting from other places also when you get a picture of what is happening. Then, of course, we're going to go to the psukim, but I'm going to give you an overview so you know what we're doing before we go into the psukim. Okay, Rav Palm, Zatzal. The Haftorah begins with the tearful appeal of a poor widow to the Navi Elisha. Okay, I guess I'll quote the first pasuk for you before I go on with the overview. V'isha achas minishei bnei hanavim tza'aka el Elisha lemar avdecha ishi meis va'ata yodata ki avdecha haya yare es Hashem. Before I finish the pasuk, I'm going to give you the translation so far. The wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, and she said, "Your servant, my husband, died, and you know that your servant was God-fearing." The creditor has come to take my two children to be his bondmen, to be his servants. What is happening here? I'm going to quote first from Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. This woman was Ovadia, the Navi Ovadia, Ovadia's widow. Ovadia, the Navi, hid 100 prophets in a cave, saving them from King Achav. to sustain these prophets, Ovadia had to borrow money and collect money. When he died, the creditors came to take his children as slaves to repay the debts their father had incurred. The widow had fed them bread, water, and according to Chazal, also oil. Chazal say that because Ovadia and this widow, the wife of Ovadia, fed the prophets with oil, the miracle described on the Haftorah was done for his family through oil. So now we know that this woman, Chazal, tell us who was she? She was the wife of Ovadia. Why are the creditors coming to take her children? Because when Ovadia was hiding 100 Nevi'im in the cave to save them from death at the hands of wicked Izabel, the queen of Ahav, we are in Bayis Rishon period. Who is Izabel? Izabel was a princess, the daughter of Et Baal. The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Vayikach Isha Et Izabel Bat Et Baal, Melch Tzidonim. And Ahav married this woman, Izabel Bat Et Baal, who was the king of Tzidon. She came from a powerful royal house where Baal worship, the Avodah Zarah Baal, was the official state religion. When Ahav married her, she brought that religious system, the Avodah Zarah system, into the northern kingdom. While earlier kings of Israel tolerated Avodah Zarah, Izabel, the wicked queen, instituted it. She made it official state policy of the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael. She then persecuted and killed all prophets of Hashem who she could find, which is why Ovadia had to hide them. We're in the time period of Bayis Rishon, we're in the northern kingdom of Malchus Yisrael. Ahav is the ruler, Izabel is the wicked queen. We are going back more than 800 years before the common era. Okay, so that I quoted from Rav Salavitchik. Now we go back to Rav Palm. He quotes Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma explains the woman was the widow of the Navi Ovadia. Despite Ovadia being a senior official in the court of evil Ahav, he risked his life to save 100 prophets from death at the hands of Ahav's wicked queen Izabel. Ovadia hid the prophets in two different caves, and he had to have money to supply them with food. Finally, when he depleted his entire considerable fortune, he began borrowing money from, of all people, Ahav's son, Yehoram, who insisted that he pay back with interest as well. Ovadia reluctantly agreed to this forbidden arrangement. He knew otherwise the prophets would starve and die from hunger. When Ovadia passed away, the loan had not been repaid. We have to understand this in order to go into the Psukim of the Haftorah. Yehoram came and demanded payment from Ovadia's widow. She could not pay. So he threatened to take her two sons as slaves if he was not paid back for her husband's debts. This is the reason that she is now going to plead with Elisha for help. And as the opening Pesukim of the Torah tell us, Elisha responds and a great miracle will happen. So now we go to the Pesukim, even though we already did Pasuk Aleph. Let us continue now with the Pesukim. Okay, so we did Pasuk Aleph. Okay, she comes to Elisha. She says, my husband was God-fearing. Oh, interestingly, I want to quote Rav Salavitchik. Listen to this. She sa'aka al Elisha. She calls out to Elisha, lamer, saying, Avdecha, your servant, Ishi, my husband, mate, died. Va'ato yadata, and you know, ki avdecha, your servant, haya yoreis Hashem. Two times she calls her husband, your servant, i.e. Elisha, he was your servant, and she says he was God-fearing. Rabbi Joseph B. Salavitchik, the Rav, says, your servant, my husband. Ovadia's widow calls Ovadia, her husband, your servant, my husband. She does not say, my husband, your servant. In other words, she puts the ikkar first. She says, Avdecha comes first. She wanted to convey to Elisha. Ovadia was more his servant, Elisha's, than her husband, because he devoted his life to the rescue of the word of Hashem by saving the Nevi'im in the caves, by feeding them, by being Moser Nefesh to get money. He was Elisha Avdecha. He was saving the word of God by saving the prophets more than he was my husband. And therefore she was saying, you have a responsibility, Kaviyachal, to help me now, because my servant gave his life. Had Izabel caught him, had she caught the prophets, we know what would have happened. Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Eidah Elisha. So Elisha says to her, she's coming to him for help. Ma'aselach, so what could I do for you? Hagidali, please tell me, ma'yeshlach babayis, what do you have in the house? So he says to her, how can I help you and what do you have in the house? This is very, very interesting. Why does he say to her, what do you have in the house in order to help her? So in the Steinsaltz Nevi'im, it says, ready? When a prophet performs a miracle, he does not attempt to create a miracle, yesh me'ayin. something from nothing. Rather, he prefers to make use of an existing object that he causes to become more bountiful, or an existing natural phenomenon that he amplifies. The Steinsaltz Nevi'im is quoting Mitzudas David, the Malbim, and the Radak. So why does he say, what do you have in the house? Because he's not going to create a miracle, Yeshme Ayin. He wants to know, what do you have? Let's use that to make a miracle. Vatomer. She says, I don't have anything. If I had anything in the house, I would be paying back the debts, and they wouldn't be threatening to kidnap my sons. I don't have anything in the house. If I had anything in the house, I wouldn't be coming to you. I only have one pot of oil. And he says, go borrow vessels from outside. Go to all of your neighbors, borrow pots, borrow vases, borrow bowls, borrow spoons, borrow basins, whatever you could find. Bring home empty vessels. Do not diminish how many vessels you will bring home. Uvas, you will come home. And then close the door. Close the door. It's only you and your sons inside the house. Rashi says about the second luchos. The first luchos were smashed because there was too much tumult. There was too much noise. There were too many witnesses. There were too many people. Nichnas bo ayin hara. The second luchos. There's nothing better than modesty. Close the door. Don't let anybody see. The atzakta al kol hakelim ha'ela, and you will pour oil from the pot that you have into all of these vessels. V'hamalei tasi. So what's going to happen? Whatever becomes filled, then you should set aside. So she leaves Elisha. Vatiskar hadalas ba'ada. She closes the door behind her, like he said, uba'ad baneh, and over her sons. Hey magishim elea v'hi motzekes. They keep bringing her all the vessels, the bowls, the vases, the spoons, the basins, the pots, and she keeps pouring oil. And there's more and more oil. She had one little pot of oil. The oil keeps pouring. And it is when all of the vessels in the house are full of oil. And she says to her son, she says, okay, bring me the next kli, the next vessel. And he says, what do you mean, mom? Ain od keli. There's nothing else to pour. The shemen lasted as long, kept increasing as long as there were vessels to pour into. Once there were no more vessels to pour into, the oil stopped. Last pasuk of this particular narrative in the Haftorah, pasuk Zayin, and she comes and she tells the man of God, Vayomer, and he says, Lechi, now go, Michriyas Hashemen, sell the oil, Vishami es nishiyech, and you could pay back your debt. Oh, you'll be okay. Va'atu banaych techi benoser, and you and your children will live by the extra. I'm quoting from Rabbi. So what is Ovadia? What not Ovadia? What does Elisha tell her? Now you have so much oil. Go sell the oil. You'll make money. You'll be able to finally pay back the loan. Your children will stay with you. And you're going to make a parnasa from the extra oil. I'm quoting Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav. Ovadia borrowed and collected money with which he bought oil to sustain the profits. Now Elisha told the woman, close the doors. Pour out the oil. Sell it in the market. The likely outcome, people would wonder, where did Ovadia's, this is a chiddush by the Rav, listen to this, where did Ovadia's widow get all this oil? They would assume Ovadia kept all the oil he purchased with their contributions for himself. He did not give it to the prophets. Ovadia went around collecting money and supplies. He said, listen to all the tzaddikim who may have been there. I am hiding prophets. I need food. I need water. I need bread. I also need oil to sustain them. They gave oil. They gave money. Now, isn't that strange? The widow selling oil in the marketplace. It must be that all the oil he collected from us righteous people, he didn't use that all for the prophets. He saved it for himself to make money. Elisha, says the Rav continues, could have told the woman to invite the whole community and show them the miracle. He could have told the widow to pay the creditors directly with the oil and not sell it in the open market. However, he did neither of those. He orchestrated the circumstances so that no one but the family would see the miracle. And when she sold this large quantity of oil, she would seem to be an oil magnate of sorts, says the Rav. Chazal note that the fact that the oil filled all the pots was a lesser miracle than the fact that the townspeople did not turn upon her and think that your husband hoarded the oil and the donations we gave him. The Rav now connects this story in a unique fashion to the Parsha. In the case of Abraham, says the Rav, the late Sanei Hador, the scoffers of the generation, insisted that Avimelech was Yitzchak's father. See Rashi to the beginning of Perek Chav Aleph, which is why people brought their babies to nurse. They said, ha ha, Sarah brought home a baby from the marketplace. Sarah conceived through Avimelech. He took her in Perek Chav Aleph, all of a sudden she has a child. It must be Avimelech. So they made fun. They laughed. Furthermore, the Akedah provided fodder for such rumors. What type of father would sacrifice his son? The Akedah is in Perek Chabis. Thus, the test of Abraham was similar to the test of Ovadia's wife. People will always try to cast aspersions on those who act for the sake of heaven. We should not be bothered by such accusations. Just like Avram listened to the voice of God, and the widow listened to the voice of Elisha, and they did what they had to do. The Shem Shemaim is commanded by God, or his Navi, or his Malach, without worrying about what the late Sanei Hador should do. That is how the Rav connects the beginning story of the Haftorah to the Parsha, and it's a lesson for us when we are acting the Shem Shemaim, when we are acting to increase Kavod Shemaim and Torah in the world. That's how we must act, regardless of what people might say, what people might think about us. Of course, we have to guard our reputation. Rav Soloveitchik says your reputation is not your own. We represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but when we know we're doing the MS, we can ignore the late Sanei Hador. I was thinking of another connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah. Because of Ovadia's hospitality to the 100 Nevi'im, at great inconvenience and risk of his own life, his wife and his children ultimately were saved. Hashem paid back measure for measure. You did chesed for the Nevi'im, I will do a chesed for you. Isn't that a connection to Avraham Avinu in his whole life? He did chesed for so many. He took in load. He went to battle against the oppressive kings to rescue Lot and the people of Sodom. He prayed for Avimelech after he took Sarah. He welcomed the Malachim to his tent. He davened for the people of Sodom. Avraham was always doing chesed for everybody. Just like Ovadia was doing chesed. And just like Hashem saved the seed of Abraham Yitzchak, he saved him from Yisrael. He allowed him to be born, not in that order. He saved him from the Kedah. Hashem saved Klal Yisrael in the merit of Avram's chesed. So too in the merit of Ovadia's chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Elisha, saved his wife and saved his children. Mezid Hashem, many beautiful lessons from the Haftorah as connected to the Parsha. Thank you for learning with me. Haftorah, OUM's initiative. I wish you all a wonderful day. Kol Tov, and thank you to all.